This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
There we are.
Now spying in progress.
Spying in progress.
Carry on, as usual. It's just your FBI agent. Did you hear that they, what was it? They got documents from a Slack from the people of Twitter.
Yes.
Did you hear about that?
Yes.
Did not hear about this.
Yeah, they were trying. What were they exactly trying to do? Do you remember this, Jimmy?
So it's basically talking about Elon Musk and him taking over the company.
Over Twitter.
Yep.
So they were trying to like collude against them.
Yes. I forget the details, but I did hear about it. I'll have to review those. But, you know, in some ways, so Elon, at least last I knew, or the, so Elon Musk kind of made an offer. They accepted, but then Elon came back and said, I need to see some numbers because, you know, can you prove to me basically that less than 20% of Twitter users are bots? And they're like, well, we can't. And we, you know, it's, we're not able to blah, 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 some excuse, some excuse, some excuse. And then there's some back and forth. In a way, Elon's kind of contractually, there is a contract in place and he signed it. So, and there's clauses if he backs out, right? I think he has to give them $1 billion or some ridiculous number. But lots of firms, like even with lots of mergers, they put that in there. So once things start moving, unless there's something egregious, you can't back out. And lots of times there will be clauses that say, one party owes the other a gajillion dollars if you back out for just because reasons. So that's in play, but you know, who knows what things have been doing internally, like Twitter's been doing internally. And so there's some back and forth that they're trying to, you know, they want the deal because that's money for them. But somehow find ways to shut Elon out and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, none of the, lots of the employees have issues with him and kind of thing. And, but they can't.
Because they're scared.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're probably scared if they're even going to be, but I just pulled up the little thing. He's planning to buy it for roughly 44 million or 44 billion.
Yes.
So,
and he's putting up 20, I think he's putting up 20 of his own.
But at the same time,
for the rest.
If he has to back out, if you're playing him 44 billion, is 1 billion really matter?
That's so weird. I mean, look at $1 billion.
You know, but I'm going back to a thought, you know, of, you know, for us, it's like, okay, if you put $44 down on something and if we back out and it's going to cost us a dollar, would we care?
Well, and I don't know if a billion is the right number. There may be some larger.
But you know
number.
What I'm saying? It's interesting how
it could be 100 billion. Like I don't know what the number
IG
is.
Guy,
Blazarian.
Yeah, he was talking about watches. You know, one thing I was listening to one day, and it really got me thinking about the whole concept of money. He's like, when you have like 100 watches that are all worth $40,000-$50,000, does it really matter anymore? He's like, not to the guy that never bought an expensive watch. It might be there's only one, but he's like, I got 10 of these. He's like, I paid $400,000 for it. It's just a watch. Like,
it's like Bobby Axelrod. When you got Axelrod money.
Do you really? It's
$132,000 for a Mercedes. Sure, I'll take two.
Yeah. You know,
but if you don't have his money,
it's all perspective, you know, it's like, what are you going after?
But that doesn't even, so SpaceX isn't even public. So Tesla is, SpaceX isn't. And so, you know, and you can talk about government subsidies for, both of those businesses and all those sorts of things. But at the same time, if SpaceX were to go public, his net worth would go up even higher. So, you know, it'll be curious to see. I mean, you know, it's Elon's talking a big game, but he has plants in China. He does things in China, and China tends to say, either you say what we want you to say, or you're not doing business here.
Right.
NBA, there's plenty of examples of that. The NBA, Disney, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it'll be curious to see what happens going forward, though. But yeah, admittedly, or apparently, or obviously, the Twitter employees have their undies in a bunch because somebody's coming in and calling bullshit on their bullshit. Right. And whether he really does anything with it, just the mere fact that he's shining a light on it, you know,
it's got them squirming.
And I know I've seen some stories or heard some things where some left-leaning folks' Twitter follower counts have dropped, and some right-leaning, quote-unquote right-leaning folks, their Twitter counts have gone up. So they've apparently potentially tweaked the algorithm, either remove stuff or like remove some of the shit that was governing and shadow banning and some of that to open up the algorithm a little bit. And there's somebody, I don't know if it's Libs of TikTok or somebody else that got basically the fire hose of data. And I don't, I think it's Elon Musk maybe, or somehow, some way he's related to this, but it may have come out because of Libs of TikTok or some other account where Elon was actually able to get the actual raw Twitter feed, which is drinking straight from the fire hose kind of thing, so that they can do analytics on it and review it and try and parse out whatever. And I've heard some, in response to that, I've heard some people, well, it's raw data and it's hard to really see, like, you know, technical stuff that. But it's like Elon Musk has SpaceX and Tesla. He has some of the smartest people on the planet working for him. I'm guessing he could throw this code at people and go, here, we have this data that we need to sift through. How can we figure out what the fuck this is? Go. And I'll pay you whatever. Like, go. Okay, we'll figure it out. And so I'll be curious to hear or see what, if anything, shakes out of that. Because I'd be curious to see what's in that raw data, what they're actually all the shit that they're actually capturing. What does that really mean? What does it appear that they're tracking or trying to do with posts and tweets and all that sort of stuff? So it's an interesting current event to keep an eye on.
Well, it's 20% of 400 million.
That works. So, 400, that'd be 80.
Wait. Yeah.
80. Yeah.
Okay. Because it's saying it boasts, like, here pretty, give or take, 400 million users. So he was asking if 80 million of them were bots.
Because
that's interesting.
If that's true, because that skews, basically, what that does, though, is that skews their ad. So they can say, oh, we have X number of users. Well, if a bunch of those are bots, then people are, if that number is higher than 20% or more, right? Because Twitter was saying, oh, it's only like 5%. And he's like, do you have proof of that? I think is the original argument. But then he's like, I'm betting it's at least 20% of the population is kind of the idea, and it may even be more. And the higher that number is, then that means, in essence, Twitter has been defrauding its ad buyers, because they're saying, we have this reach with these audiences.
How about all, and the if most of them are
fake,
dual or triple accounts? I wonder how that plays into it.
And that could be another thing too, because there is situations where it's like one dude has 20 accounts and he just auto does the same message. So it looks like a firestorm of people, but really there's behind, you know, X number of accounts, there's one person. Right. And so again, that's also misleading and defrauding.
Wow.
From an ad revenue or an ad perspective, because then you're generating ad revenue off of completely garbage numbers. And I think that's, in some ways, that's Elon's play, saying, hey, and some people are, I have seen, ding him for this. It's not that he really wants to buy Twitter. He bought it. Now he wants to sell it. You know, maybe he shorted it or something, but he says he wanted to buy it. Well, now he wants to buy it at a lower price and it helps him in some way, shape or form.
Right.
But regardless of that, just the mere fact that somebody's shining a light on this stuff, clearly Twitter is reacting in a way that makes you think they're doing something shady, or at least some number of employees have been doing something shady, but really the entire company has kind of been okay with it. So
they've been looking other way.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Here's the I'm on this page and it's given Twitter statistics. It says, where do I find it? Worldwide, men use Twitter more than women. I find that kind of interesting. Where's the, in the US, 92% of the tweets come from the top 10% of users.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
seems ridiculous.
Yeah. 92% of the tweets. That's a lot of tweets all coming from 10%. So if you think about that, 10% of them are guys that are creating content that the other 90 just look at. So 90% of Twitter is just
people kind of
making comments and looking at it occasionally. And they're the ones buying an ad, reading. It's like they're the ones paying for everything, just like in a gym membership. You got that 80% out there that pays so everybody else can have the nice equipment.
Yeah.
With 20% actually going to the gym on a weekly
Thank you
basis.
Guys, by the way. I really appreciate it. But yeah, it'll be curious to see. And you know, that's kind of the problem too, that like how much of this is sort of technology algorithm, right? There's it's about engagement. YouTube, any social media platform, the algorithm is more geared towards engagement and getting, so something's trending, then it's going to kind of keep trending because, oh, it's trending. But then there's other things that they can shut off. If it's something trending in a direction that's going against the narrative, then it's like, ooh, well, wait a minute.
We don't want what they would do if they took the algorithms out, just left alone. It's like, let me find what I want to look for and don't give me stuff.
Yeah. Or at the very least, just be transparent about it. Like have the algorithm available. There's, I listen a lot to Tim Pool and he has the Timcast IRL on YouTube, but he has his own site. I encourage you to check him out. He's actually more of a classical liberal, but he gets accused of being right.
What is
he? He's liberal, not libertarian.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. You said classic. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. But, and when I say that, like speaking of Elon Musk, like a while back, he tweeted something that showed left on one side and then center and then right. And I think he was just left of center. Okay. And then it was a meme. So that's one picture. The next part of it is the left moving further left and Elon still left of center and then the right. And then the last, and it was like years, I forget what the years, but then it's like 2022. The left is way left. The center, because they are so far left, Elon Musk is now right of center. And the right is the right. And it's like, we haven't moved. It's like there are folks that haven't moved, but the left keeps going. That was his point. And there, and Tim Pool agreed. He's like, yeah, it's like I haven't changed any of my views. I still believe in this. There's some things that he is more right on, but other things he's more left on. But he's like, I haven't changed anything, and yet I'm being accused of being right leaning. And it's like, well, no, it's I'm still who I am. You guys moved. Like, it's anyway, he they talk a lot about open platform, and there are things that they're doing. They're moving. They use Rumble's infrastructure for all their stuff. That he built his own website. Like, he was working for, he used to work for Vice. Then he worked for, even worked for a startup thing that ABC News was doing. And he started out as an independent journalist. He was covering Occupy Wall Street. And then he's like, you know what? All these things that are going on in the world, I'm going to go there for myself and see what's really going on. Like, see what's happening from my perspective and report out. He's a high school dropout, self-made man. He's now built his own website, newsroom, platform, organization kind of thing. And, but he and his, the people he has on his show, the regulars on his show, talk about just open up the algorithm. Here's the code. Here you go. Look at it. So to your point, the reason why I bring this up, Nate, is I agree with you on one level. Yeah, just let me pick. But even if you don't do that, at least expose the algorithm out there so people could look at it, so we know, and just be honest and say, look, yes, this is what we're doing. We are doing these things to ban this stuff or to downgrade this stuff and uplift this other stuff. Yeah. At least then you're being honest. And I'd respect you more if you were telling me right. Exactly what you're doing and being open and upfront about it. Yes, we are biased. We lean this direction and this is what we've done. Okay, cool. Then I know. Don't pretend, oh no, this is free and open and we do all this stuff. It's like, no, you don't. It's clear that you don't. So, but every time you bring it up, it's like, no, that's not, you know, it's like right-leaning voices aren't shadow banned or suppressed. Well, if I don't show up in a search, and Tim talks about this too, I had a video about something and I was getting tweets or messages, hey, your video's not there. I go to look on YouTube and it looks like it's there, but then I can't click on it. And sure enough, it's not there. So they're even trying to hide it from me.
Right.
And so anyway, it spirals into a whole big thing with social media and all those sorts of things. I just wish they were just honest. It's like, just tell us how you're fucking us. And I'd respect you more.
Exactly.
Buy me dinner at least.
Exactly. Shove a burger and fries down my throat and then I'll be okay. But geez Louise.
Hey, okay. Johnny Carson show. Do you even remember that show, CJ? Were you even old enough to watch? Who was his sidekick in Johnny Carson?
Ed McMahon.
That's CJ. You know I'm right.
Yeah, he is.
Okay,
just offer some commentary.
Johnny Carson would be the one always talking to the guests and everything. He would be the numbered thing. And every once in a while, Ed would just out of the blue say something. Or they would ask him something and he'd say something. But most of the time, he just kind of sat there and he was...
He would come on and announce, like he was towards the top, he would announce who's coming on, or maybe they'd have a built-in commercial for Alpo or whatever it is, and
right,
Ed would read it. But yeah,
I'm gonna hear the feed the philosopher.
But as soon as you did that, I'm like, this feels like the old Johnny Carson show. You know, what was it?
Hey-oh,
there we go.
Well, every night is like Monday through Friday, Johnny Carson.
Yep, that was a staple.
When you guys are talking about things I have no idea about, I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah.
Well, just like Ed would. See? Yeah. It works out. Yeah,
I know. Johnny Carson was from Norfolk, Nebraska. Was from Norfolk, Nebraska, which is a couple hours away from where I live. So, yeah. Nebraska boy did good.
Yeah.
And they don't make late night comedy like he did anymore.
It's, no.
The Jay Tonight Leno Show is finally not the
grew
tonight.
On me. But even then, it was ever since Carson, that none of the other guys were anywhere compared to him. Nothing. Yeah. I know. So Jay always watched the late show when it became all the like the what is it? Adult cartoons. I can't think of what that was.
I don't know Space what the fuck Ghost, you're talking Coast about. To Coast.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh,
yes, exactly. You were up after all the night shows.
I did watch David Letterman with my parents when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
That was about. They hated Jed Leno because he was annoying as fuck.
Yeah.
Well, and
doesn't David Letterman still do some stuff? He does like actual interviews now.
On Netflix.
Both of them still do, but yeah.
I'd rather listen to Dave.
He's gone. Yeah, I mean, he's still Dave, but he's super left, and it comes out in his special because now he doesn't give a shit. He's got more money than God, and who cares? Yeah. So he's got to deal with Netflix, and so he does interviews there. Jay Leno has primarily anymore does his Jay Leno's Garage because he has so many cars. And
yeah, that's what I watch him for anymore is to see his car collection. Yeah. What was it? Somewhere over like 300 and some plus cars. And I don't know, and that's not counting as motorcycles.
Yeah, that doesn't include motorcycles.
Higher. Yeah. It was, he has a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But, Speaking of cars, I saw a 1969 Ford Cobra the other day.
Ooh.
It was, I've never seen a red and white one.
Oh, they did. So not a blue.
All of them I see is
it was, blue. Yeah, it wasn't blue. That's what I was saying. I'm like, this thing's not blue. What the fuck?
It still had the silver chrome bar behind
everything head. Was the same except it was red.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize.
I bet that looked
I sharp. Didn't realize they came in any other color than Shelby blue.
I was shocked as hell.
You but know, that had guys,
to be sexy.
Oh.
But there's guys turning over in their grave or thinking about going, oh, it can only be blue.
No?
I've seen, what was it, silver? I've seen silver.
Yep, there's some silver ones.
Silver and blue are the only ones I've ever seen. That's the only ones I ever thought there was.
Yeah.
But then I saw that one. It was beautiful, though.
I mean, at that time, though, it makes sense that they might make a red one because Corvette, like those, you know, they have a 68, 69 Corvette, 65 even, like that red and white, geez, 66. 66 Corvette. That red and white, oh my god, like, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ford did that, you know. It's like, okay, cool, like maybe
was
we
it like
should
a
mix
cherry
it up.
Or was it fire engine or a metallic or anything?
It was like fire truck red. It was like a bright red.
Yeah.
See, me personally, I would have put a black stripe on that because if we're gonna have red, we're gonna have red and black.
But see, that's like Chevelle colors then.
I don't give a fuck.
I know. but I'm just going old school. I agree with you. Black on red would look much better.
Yeah.
Especially for
I know I've like mentioned cherry. This before. A buddy of mine in high school had a 70 Chevelle fastback with and his twin sister had a 71 Chevelle convertible. They were both red, and he had the two black racing stripes.
Nice.
And his had a 454, and hers had a 350. Oh, my
Jesus
God.
Jesus Christ.
Well, he found it in some farmers was selling it. You know, it's like $100, $500, whatever the number was, and it didn't have an engine, and it was starting to rust out. And so he put it back together and then was looking. The last thing he was looking for was an engine and found a 454, dropped it in there, and it's cowl injected. So when you step on the gas, there's a thing by the windshield that pops up to suck in air, and you can hear it breathing. Like you hear, it's like Darth Vader inhaling. And then you take off like a jet because it has so much air. But then the downside of that is as the speedometer goes up, the gas gauge goes down
at the same speed.
It's almost a one for one. But yeah. It's so worth it. So worth it. No, that's awesome. I'll take one.
Yeah, I would take.
I don't care the color. I'll take one.
Whatever color. It could be shit brown. I'd take it.
Yeah, yeah.
They did have factory red ones.
Really?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just flipping through, just looking. But yeah, red with white stripes, 66.
Was 66? When was that the first year that they were made?
65, 66, depending on. But yeah, they this one's just a regular. No, that's a Shelby Cobra 66. That one was red.
I don't think this was a Shelby, though.
It wasn't a Shelby?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, I just threw Shelby in there. But anyway, either way, so they did have the red color option, but everyone's just used to blue with the occasional. I mean, the first ones all pop up are silver. So, yeah.
Well, isn't that around the time where Shelby was working on the GT?
Yes.
The Ford GT for Le Mans. So, you know, I know
they had the GT, the original red.
I can't. That's before my time. I'd have to ask like an uncle or something on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Get sidetracked on old cars quick. Oh man,
it's easy whenever you see things that you just wish you had.
What's funny in what I was talking about a little bit before, trying to find a vehicle for my boy, I've been pulling up 84 Chevys and Chevy pickups and Ford pickups, and I so love the body style of the 80s. They got the big freaking engines, that square blocky. I showed him a couple that, and he's like, oh, that's a cool truck. But when you're starting to look at fuel prices that are $6 a gallon, and you're looking
when it's run at like 10 to 8,
if you're lucky on a good day. But I found an old, it was a 86 Ford, and it had a 4-speed with granny gear in it with a 410 rear end and 33s on it.
It
was beat up, but it looked good. It was like that. It was like that farm boy beat up truck. I'm like, this looks cool. So he's like, so I would have to trade gas mileage for looking cool. Exactly.
That's the trade off, son.
And he's like, how many miles per gallon does this truck get? I was like, on a good day downhill with the wind behind you, maybe 10.
I'm trying to look
up. You could sit out here and do burnouts all night long. I mean, you're going to spend more money and tires. Well,
for a few hours, anyway.
For about an hour until you run out of gas.
Yeah. What are you looking up, CJ?
One of my buddies in high school had an 80s Chevy truck, and it was like a baby powder blue.
Oh, yeah.
Totally restored it. It was a beautiful truck. I wish I knew what year. It's in the 80s. It was that big blocky style, but it was. Well,
they didn't change it till, what was it, 91 or something? So, like, all 80s trucks are the same.
That baby blue wet on white, it was a classic two-tone. Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, and it was.
Yeah, that was a classic. Like even going back into the 70s,
good big lights and everything on them and stuff.
Yeah, that was like almost the size of a spotlight.
Two of them, high beam, low beam. Yep. It'd be like you could actually see down the road compared to the things they got on the cars and stuff now.
Yeah, it's basically a refrigerator box on wheels.
It ran so great.
And the engine compartment. I mean, I remember my dad, even on his 68 pickup.
You could sleep in the thing.
Yep.
Small as you are.
Or even on the 80. I remember my dad and a neighbor of my dad and one of my uncles, like literally they were both, it was almost like they were both sitting in the engine bay together because it was almost like a hot tub. Like it was just huge.
Yeah.
Working, cranking on the engine. It's like, oh my God.
Well, that's a 60, CJ, that picture you threw up.
Is that really?
Yeah, that's a, yep. that's like late 60s. Maybe 70s, but
maybe
that
early looks more 70s.
Like 80s yeah. is more box.
I was going to say, I was looking up 80s, but that was like the color scheme. It didn't yeah. look exactly like that, but that was a color scheme.
Yeah, if you do like an 80 Silverado, 80
oh,
yeah. Chevy oh, CK.
This might be it.
Yeah.
It looked
I think like, at the same time as Chevy CK for a while when there.
They, right before they switched the lettering to the it looked, 25.
It looked more like
this. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's an 80s. Oh, yep. Hell yeah.
That's exactly what
I looked. I had like three like different that. Ones.
That was the second. Yeah, it was that, except it was red and gray. It was that same two-tone, but it was like red and gray.
But that truck has yeah. class to me. I know I grew up with it, but it still has class. You know, ever since, but it's funny, like Chevy trucks now, they like these are squared out, but it looks good. Now they got it so squared out, you can see half. I don't like that. And then they put yeah. that stupid GPS whatever tit on top, and they don't have anything to center. It's off to the left. It takes the whole profile of the vehicle away. First time I told that to somebody, I'm like, I won't buy a truck just because it has that tit on it because it annoys the living daylights out of me. They could have put two. They could have moved it to the center. They could have moved it to the back. They could have made it smaller. On the back,
yeah.
But no, you got this little pointy thing right above your driver's head, and it kills the whole profile of the vehicle. Yeah. Yep. I'll take an old 80s truck. Yeah. Yep. You don't even have to put monster tires on it, and it just
looks even good. if you took that base design and maybe modernized it just a hair, like maybe a slightly different bumper or made it more all like a unibody kind of thing.
You know what else I miss? The little wing window where you could turn it yep. open and it would blow air in. Not a pop
straight
out.
At you. Yep.
Yeah. I want the one that turns. They always yep. broke, but still it was like, I could get wind on me. Nowadays it's all pop up or.
And if window. if the wind, that little triangle window didn't break, the latch to actually lock it down
yep.
broke.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. And there was no fixing it. You just left yeah. it alone. Yeah. You kind of pushed on it now and then.
And then you have the vents coming off the wheel wells. Yes. So if it's super hot, it feels like there's jet engine exhaust blowing on your legs. And you're trying to do it to cool off, but it's like hot tire, hot brake, hot road, all coming right into you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That was the days. Those were so nice. Yeah. I worked for a farmer, and he had like a 68 or a 69 Ford pickup. And before I quit working for that job, that truck died. And he dropped down to like a 65 or a 66. And he says, when this truck, when I run it out, I'm going to buy like a 61 or 62. He kept regressing in years because they were better vehicles.
Yeah.
I'm almost getting to that point now where if I was going to spend 40 grand on a truck, I'd buy something like this blue and white one CJ threw up there. That's all redone in an 80 because I could work on it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still get parts for it.
Yeah, good gas mileage, everything else. It breathed. It sounded good. Not like these guys putting these big 15-inch pipes on freaking diesels to make it crack going down the road. It's like, that sounds so stupid, guys. Just buy a Harley. Call it a day. Or just take your exhaust off, poke a couple holes in it like we did when we were in high school. You know, you want a loud exhaust, it's a hammer and a screwdriver. Poke some holes in the muffler. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's still better than whatever my truck sounded like when I first got it.
Yeah, fair.
It was the dumbest sound. I've never heard a truck that sounded like that when you stomped on the gas. It was just the, what was it? It was the turbo.
Oh, like yeah. a long fart.
The turbo wine.
It's yeah. just like one of those silent, but you can kind of hear it fart.
Yep.
I can still hear that over my exhaust now, but God, it actually sounds like a truck now with the Roush exhaust.
Oh, yeah. Owned vehicles. So that I know that wasn't on the list. What else? What else do we got to talk about?
Should we even go to the list of anything? What else do we have to talk about? We're not even.
I could bring up more car stuff, but.
Well, the way the our night's going, you know, let's circle back down to like our Twitter conspiracies and all the other stuff. Let's talk to Georgia Guidestones, just some of the in the Ten Commandments on it, because this one's in my head. I mean, everything else we can always come back to at another
time. So for those who don't know, this is what?
For what? The Georgia
Stones?
Yeah.
Monument in the state of Georgia.
Here, I'll read off the first line. I'm just using Wiki if anyone wants. Are granite monuments erected in 1980 in Elbert County, Georgia, in the United States. A set of 10 guidelines is inscribed on the structure in 8 modern languages and a sword or message inscribed at the top of the structure in 4 ancient language scripts. And it's like a modern day Stonehenge they made. And they put 10 commandments on it. And I figure that'd be fun to talk about.
Sure.
Oh, languages. That's, if I don't sneeze here.
Bless you.
Thank you. There it is. Languages are English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, traditional Chinese, and Russian. How many people talk Swahili? Where do you even talk Swahili?
It's not like the hardest language to learn as well.
I don't know. Africa.
I was going to say, the only time I've ever heard of Swahili was on Van Wilder.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's, you know, well, you know, talking like everybody lying to us, and big businesses and everything else. The first rule on here, and this is a weird one, is maintain humanity under 500 million. Because that's what? That's six. Yeah, I'm saying that right. 500 million. It's not a billion. Billion is nine zeros, right?
Well, mm-hmm. How many people are on the earth right now?
A few billion.
Aren't we at a billion?
World population. I don't know. I always have to look because I always say these numbers incorrectly. 7.95 billion people.
Jesus
Christ. So there you go.
So we'd only have to take out how many people? Yeah. 7 billion.
7.4 billion.
So how many?
Nice knowing all of you.
What's the percentage of that? All you normies,
get the fuck out.
What's the percentage?
What did CJ say? All you mouth breathers, get the fuck out. Episode 105. Check it out. Anyway, I'm sorry, Nate. You were saying?
What's that workout percentage wise? I can't do big math like that without a calculator. So let's just say 8 billion. Make the number easy. Which is
14%.
My calculator will go to 8 billion times 10. Oh, that didn't work.
How do you do math again?
I know. Don't you apply it by what? Point?
Well, why don't you just
0.10 there?
Why don't you just 8 times 0.5?
8 times 0.25.
Just 8 times 0.5.
Why don't you? Oh, wow. This is really getting to be a small number while we're figuring it out.
Yeah, it's got to be
point
less
08,
than
0.07.
Yeah.
It's
got to be less than a percent.
Yeah, it's... It's 0.07.
So 7%.
0.6. 0.6. Nope, not 5. 0.64. 0.63. Oh, it's getting closer. Okay, it's somewhere between 0.062 and 0.063 is 500 million. So that's what, about a half a percent of the world's population?
That's 6%.
Is it 6?
0.06 is 6%.
Okay, 6%.
So 6%. One is 100%.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. According to Siri,
I'm tired.
According to Siri, it's 6.25%.
6.25%. Wow. So they want to wipe out 94% of the population, give or take.
Yes.
Who's they?
Whoever, I don't know, someone, whoever wrote this. If they want the world population to drop down to 500,000.
Does it say who put it up?
No.
Or was the architect or whatever? There has to be some record of somebody that built a monument in a place like that.
Yeah.
You have to get all these.
Let me find it here. Features. It says some guy approached. Let me see. A few exploratory inscriptions. In June 1979, a man using the pseudonym Robert C. Christian approached the Albert Granite Finishing Company on behalf of a small group of loyal Americans and commissioned the structure. So, in other words, someone with a fake name.
It was Skull and Crossbones.
There we go.
God, what was that, Yale?
I thought it was Harvard, but I think it might have been Yale.
Yeah, because George Bush was in Yale. I don't think he went to Harvard.
Okay.
It's so, all those fuckers.
But that's a lot of people to kill off. You
wouldn't have overpopulation.
What's funny is they're saying you got to have more people born just to fill in to take care of the older generations. But yet, now you have people trying to wipe out, you know, it's like you got to have two kids for everyone that dies or something to keep, you know, money and numbers. It's like you got different groups going at each other. You got the ones that like, oh, we got to take care of everything. And then you got the other ones that like, yeah, but we got to find people to pay for all this stuff. You can't win.
We'll only keep the elites, and then nobody will feed the elites so that they die.
Yeah.
So stupid. You got nobody to do construction. You got nobody to do the farming. Nobody's going to answer your calls. Who's going to make the pizzas?
Exactly. Well, and that takes us to the next one on here. It says, guide reproduction wisely. Improve fitness and diversity.
What a fucking broad-ass guideline.
But that's a scary guideline too, because that's like, hey, we're going to decide who has to, you know, basically who gets to have sex with who and which people get to reproduce. Something else on a tangent here, not to do with this, but did you know how hard it is for two people to repopulate the world? You actually, without having too much inbreeding, you actually have to have like 20 couples to do it. Yeah,
you have to have some level of biodiversity between men and women. So yeah, so you avoid the trap of genetic issues caused by inbreeding.
Breeding. So yeah, so starting over one or whatever, it's like
you can't just have one and one. Yeah.
Yeah, you get down to 500 million, it's like, you're going to start running into some problems, especially if you have, I mean, we're going to talk about it here in a little bit, but you got different city states and stuff. It almost would have to be controlled, or you are going to be hitting up first cousins in not too much amount of time.
Well, and that guiding reproduction wisely, I mean, what that's such a, I'm with you, Nate. I'm with both of you, actually. It is a very broad thing, and it's also very scary. Like, it's is it Margaret Sanger, who is ultimately the founder, the creator of the organization that ultimately either was or became Planned Parenthood? Take what you will with that, but she was about that. It's like, you know, don't, and there's always been this notion, right, of you want the best, and sadly, whether it's the Spartans or it's Hitler or it's whatever, right? There's always been this notion of genetic purity of some way, shape, or form in various cultures, not, you know, and I'm not, but you know, to me, that's what I think about. The one thing that comes to mind with that. Yeah, yeah.
Look at the Habsburgs, they did it. They're the ones that bred in between, and then they basically killed themselves out to being infertile and everything. And if you look at, like, most dogs, mutts live healthier, longer lives than
purebred dogs.
Purebreds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was no inbreeding.
Yeah. You know, you take almost anything that's kept in a certain line, if you don't offer more stuff to it, they become weaker over time.
But then, like you were talking either on this podcast or for sure in the green room, it's like, who gets to decide?
Yeah. Well, and here's another thought. It's like, do you go back to the times of, you know, they talk about like the Vikings, or some went with different like tribal. I'll go with tribal. I like that word better. It's like, if a kid comes out and it's weak or deformed, do you just toss it off to the side and don't, you know, let them continue? It's like the strong survive. So that's why they did better, because this with 500 million, it's like, well, how many people are going to just get kicked off to the white side because they're not strong enough to make it? Yeah. And then the next one is scary from a Christian perspective, is unite humanity with a living new language.
They tried that and it didn't work.
Yeah. That went bad the first time around. Why does anyone think that it'll work again? I think English is the closest thing we'll ever have to a common tongue. I think you can have a common language, but not.
What are you referring to? Go ahead, CJ. What are you referring to when they tried to do this? Are you talking about the Dark Ages?
No, we're talking to like the Tower of Babel in biblical times. Everybody used to talk the same language. They wanted to build the Tower to the Heavens. And God cast it down, and that's when everyone started speaking a different language. And that's the short, really short version of that.
And then later, like in the, I don't know, for sure the 80s, it may have started beforehand. There was a notion of creating a world language called Esperanto, and it was an amalgamation of a number of different languages. That also failed, because who the fuck wants to learn a new fucking language? Like, people were having a hard enough time taking German, French, or Spanish in high school. Who the fuck wants to learn some universal language across the globe? Like,
but see, that's what I would call American English.
No.
If you think about American English has Latin words, French words, German words, and it's why most people in America can't half-ass speak the language, because there's so many different words that say the same damn thing. And then you add in pronunciations with it. We have like the common tongue. I mean, we don't even have an authorized language in the United States to this day. You know, many countries have like English or Spanish as the governmental language. We technically don't have that. Mm. Yeah. I
didn't know that.
Yeah. But if you look at just American English, we even have a lot of words different from English. Yeah. We are that amalgamation. And if you go anywhere, it's like you could almost, it's like you go, and I've noticed this, not being out of the country wise, but being in like heavy Hispanic areas, if I'm in and around them enough, I can start picking up what they're saying. You know, there's enough words.
They slow the fuck down.
And talk louder.
But, you know, I was with a couple buddies that were from Chicago when we were down in like Tennessee, Kentucky area, and they couldn't understand each other. I was playing interpreter for my guys out in Chicago to talk to the gas station, because the gas station. What? You guys from? And they're like, talking to Milo a minute because they're from Chicago. And it's like, no, no, you got they. He's like, I can't down, understand bud. Them.
Interesting. I didn't realize it was created in the 1800s, the late 1800s. And it was built, it was, the idea was supposed to be an international auxiliary language, but it's never taken off ever.
Ever. Yeah. I think our bastardization of so many different languages here in America has made it so it's.
I think you're, that's fair. Anyway,
you got to think. Chinese learn ours as a second language so they can talk to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Russians learn our language as a second language to the rest of the world. Basically, if you don't live in Europe, you're not multilingual, you know, you get bilingual here, which is mostly, you know, coming up the Spanish and then English sides, you get bilingual, but to really go multilingual are normally Europeans. You don't know why? Well, because they travel to four different countries and they got nine different languages. You got to become multilingual. Yeah. But then you come to the United States and we basically, you know, we're one of the largest countries and you can literally talk to everyone for the most part from one end to the other.
Yep.
For the most part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's...
No, it's funny because there's been times, like you said, there's been people from Chicago and they were talking to me and there's words that they say. I'm like, what?
Yep.
Everybody pronounces things a little bit different. And some of those things are just
in Chicago.
Out of Jersey. We're
on a mission from Gad.
Yeah, but there we go. Some Jersey boys.
Boston.
Oh, Boston. Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Got to park the car with the clicker. Saugus,
Micah,
Worcester.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, what's our next one? So,
rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. That which almost
sounds good at the onset, but who gets to decide all that?
Yeah. Sounds like communism.
Well, and to me, right, it says, I don't know, it's a backhanded way of saying faith and religion, spirituality, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Logic and reason does. I mean, to me, that it can read, I should say, as a sort of a backhanded way of dismissing religion.
It's like, we want to get rid of all of this religion and you believe the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The government is your church.
Yes. The government. Mm-hmm. One sorry.
I protect there are, people there and are, nations.
There seems to be a lot of people that are turning to that, though. Haven't we talked about that?
What to God as the, yeah. or as to, well, to the government as their religion?
Yeah,
yeah,
yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That is kind of coming true, and it's a little fucking freaky.
Well, and I remember anytime stuff like this comes up, I think of the podcast we did with Padre, and he said that, or on that podcast, and I forget what the number is at this point, but it's early on, but he basically said that sort of we as humans are sort of wired to worship something, and yes. and whether that's an organized religion or climate change or veganism or whatever. So you start seeing those things where we're supplanting just God is dead kind of thing. Great. But then there's atheists that are believing in things, or even atheism is more like a religion. But my point is there are other things, whether it's, like I said, climate change is an obvious one, veganism and some other things, where it's like this, there are tenets of the religion, there are commandments of that religion, there are rites of rites and symbols of that particular religion. And it's funny, you know, it's good for you for bringing it up, but it's funny how we're wired that way. So we make things into, because we want to believe something bigger than ourselves.
Everybody, even instead when they say they don't, they do.
Yeah. they find the something gods. Bigger. Yeah, that's totally. Exactly. It's the high table in
you got Ron John Coleman, Wick, Jay Cutler.
Dorian Yates,
yeah,
Andre the Giant.
Big Someday show. They will be.
And then the next one, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. I mean, that sounds straight ahead, but
another broad statement. It's like, isn't America supposed to be doing that already? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? You have a right to a speedy trial too.
Unless you're, happened to be anywhere near the Capitol building on January 6th. And then you don't get a speedy trial.
Well, what's funny is think of how spread out we are now. And I know there are nations that they're like so clumped together, mm-hmm. like a big city. The whole country's just one big city. But you're breaking it down to 500,000. You're almost moving to more of a, you're either going to have little city states or you're going to have tribal. In a tribal thing, most of these people are going to tell the big city folks to go just F off.
F them. Yep.
You know, I'm going to go over here. We're going to do our own thing, blah, blah, blah. And we don't even care about your city laws. It's like, how are you even going to keep, you know, like the technology rolling, stuff rolling? Shoot, car manufacturers will be out of business just because there's not enough people to drive the vehicles around. You know, it's one of those
people become more self-sustaining.
Yeah, you'd almost have to go more to more of a farming community type.
Yep, agrarian. Yep.
You know, if they were saying like 500 million or whatever per continent, it almost would make more sense. It's like, oh, okay, I could, not that I think, you know, it should be like, what's his name who snuffed out half the world population, but
Thanos.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name. Just do the snap. Just
snap his fingers. Yeah.
You know, but it's the same kind of concept that he's talking. He's like, well, I can fix all our problems by eliminating half the people.
Yeah.
Well, which half? He didn't know. It was supposed to be random. Well, somebody somewhere there in the random number generator still ended up picking people. You know, it's.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the last point where it ties to that. But
yeah. Okay. The next one's let all nations rule internally and resolve external disputes in a world court. Well, my big thing is if you're going to cut this down to that many people, you're not going to have that many nations.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, a world court doesn't mean jack shit unless it's the Nuremberg trials after World War II. Like, that's the last, I mean, that is the last world court of any kind that would matter. I don't, in the world, to your point, in the world today, and to your point, Nate, there's no way, like, we have the UN, and that's a useless organization. Right. We have NATO. We have other things. Those are useless organizations in this notion of, oh, well, this is where we would resolve all disputes. No, we still, even though the United States anyway, doesn't officially declare war, we go to war with people. So,
right. Well, but that's where I'm back to. Well,
but if we
like, but it'd be like putting everybody in the United States together and then letting the rest of the world be or pick a state, or you know, put everybody in Texas.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody's sitting there in Texas. Okay, the rest of the world just is nature, blah blah blah. All right, maybe you could control them, but if you were to spread out 500 million across the entire world, what are you planning to do? Have a city state full of drones? Because if you don't have drones and robots to go hunt all these people down, there's going to be thousands of people that just live out in nature with their gal
and say, fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah. And making kids. I just, yeah.
Yep. And the next one I can get behind, avoid petty laws and useless officials. But to me, world court screams useless officials
and petty laws. You know,
contradicting ideas, right?
There. Yeah. Yeah. But
that's, That's one of the annoyances I have with our federal government. You can't make a law that stipulates somebody that lives in New York City that should affect me out here in the boondocks of Illinois.
Yep.
You know, okay, hey, don't, you'll get your hand chopped off if you throw trash in the ocean. Oh, okay. But I live out in a landlocked Sahara state. Desert.
Yeah. You know, it's in a landlocked state. That's great.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think that's where one of the beauties of our founding document, our founding fathers' notion of, and it's such a terrible name because it doesn't in no way, it almost sounds like it describes the opposite, but federalism, the notion that states' rights, right? That's no law, nothing. If it's not in the Constitution, states can do whatever they want so long as it doesn't abridge anything else in the Constitution. So free speech, Second Amendment, it's a blah, 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 blah. So yeah, put it to the states. If states want to have healthcare for all its citizens, great. That's up to the state to decide. We can vote on that and the state can implement those things. If states want to have same-sex marriage, great. You don't have to federally mandate it, but we live in this world where the country as it stands today, everything has to be federally mandated because there is a group of people and a significant number of them that think the opposite. No, we need a strong federal government and a weak state government. That goes back to useless officials.
Right.
We get a bunch of people doing shit that really their only job is to seemingly make our lives more difficult.
Right. Yeah.
Balance personal rights with social duties. That's great. But
that's communism. And then there's still somebody at the top.
Yeah. I love the first part of that. Get rid of the second part. Personal rights. Drop the rest. Those other words don't mean anything. Thanks. Because sure, there are social duties, but that's moral. I mean, that's social contract stuff to me. I'm nice to you because I'm nice to my neighbors because that's what you do. Unless you're a dick to me.
Right.
If you're a dick to me, I'll be a dick back. But let's be nice and build a community. And then there's built-in social sort of contracts, some weight norms and behaviors that form because, oh, hey, you know, I helped you chop down this tree. Now my tree's going to shit. Can you, you know, it's almost expected. Now you help me kind of thing. But you don't have to, there isn't some social obligation I have to.
Well, you know what this makes me think about at another level is that China's credit score system.
Social credit.
Social credit. That's what that to me sounds like. It's like,
did you do the right thing?
Yeah.
Here's your gold star.
And if you didn't do the right thing, we're going to raise your rates or this or that. Or, did you get your community service in this month? No, I was sick.
That sucks. Oh, $10 per gallon.
Yeah. Or they don't let you travel or, you know.
Right.
Or they don't let you do something. Or like you said, they jack up rate. Oh, well, you know, movie ticket now costs twice as much as it is for you than it does for CJ, who did the right thing. And he was a good soldier and did the thing he was supposed to do. Well, fuck that. I mean, not that I'm purposely going to be a dick to everybody on the planet, but self-interest, personal self-interest isn't actually a bad thing. But
exactly. What's
think about yourself, Jimmy. That's just selfish.
Yeah.
Damn straight. I am an only child, so it is all about me.
Oh my.
Yeah, so there it is.
I basically was.
Yeah, let's see. You're...
We're on prize, truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Yeah. If that isn't some voodoo, not voodoo.
That's woo-woo shit.
Yeah, new age woo-woo shit. There we go.
Well, and you know, because again, you can't say God or because that means something. So there's this more universal bullshit.
I'm spiritual.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone should just be happy with their bodies.
And I you know,
transcending to a new level,
a new level of existence. You know, I think about this, like, or I hear shit like this, and what I immediately think of all the time is, I don't know if you guys remember or ever heard about it, but on PBS, they had this sort of their version, their take on a reality show. And basically, it was a recreation of the Plymouth colonies. And basically, you know, they got people from, I don't know if it was around the country or whatever, but people to come in and play their part and then do the thing. So they couldn't have any modern things. They couldn't have cell phones. They couldn't have TV, computer, any of those sorts of things. They couldn't even have mattresses.
I kind of remember this. Yeah.
And there was a guy that was hired to be William, to play the part of William Bradford, who was basically the quote unquote mayor or leader of that initial colony. And then they would have elections, and over time, it was like over a summer. And so they had people doing it, and Bradford was kind of hewing, the guy who played Bradford or was filling that role initially was hewing towards what needed to be done. And there's struggles, like modern people trying to figure out how to, you know, use a sickle to get it, to trim the fields, or just setting up house. Anyway, at one point they all took a break. Like, he was voted out. They voted in another guy because they were modern people that were kind of fed up with doing all this hard work. And so they purposely built in artistic time and creative time where you could follow your own pursuits and write and paint and do all these sorts of things. At the end of the thing, they would have been basically, they, based on the firewood and food stores and all those things that they had taken in, they did an assessment on whether they would have passed and would have lived through the winter or not. Well, it turns out, no, they all would have died because right. They spent time being artistic and doing some of this woo-woo shit when they should have been chopping wood, planting the fields, sowing, you know, and sowing the harvest and all those sorts of things. But, you know, and I get it, it's modern. It's a modern day people put in a historic setting. And so they're going to want to find ways to bring that out. But when the Plymouth, those folks first got here, there was no choice.
Well, and they wasn't the first group pretty much set up like a communist.
Yes, it was socialist, basically.
Socialist. Yeah.
And then Bradford said, no, wait a minute. Take your plot of land. You build it. What you do is what you keep. There isn't a communal store for everybody.
Right.
And then Plymouth thrived because they said, because there are people who weren't pulling their weight because.
Why should they?
Exactly. While other people were working their asses off and everybody was supposed to. So then when they left it up to the individuals, those who did good, did good. Those who didn't, suffered and fuck you. Or yeah. you learn your lesson. And you're like, shit, I got to work. And so it's, I think of this stuff and I go back to that example of, sure, everybody wants to have fun. Everybody wants to be artistic or not do hard labor. But guess what? Sometimes you have to do the fucking hard labor.
Yeah.
Enjoy life later. And especially back then, because they were dependent on, they had to survive harsh winters without indoor plumbing and indoor heat and... grocery stores.
It was all surviving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's gross. There's no grocery stores. There's no, you can't just go to Casey's and grab a pizza. Like, you know.
Life would be hard.
Kill me now. Kill me now. And last but not least, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.
You know what the biggest problem with be not a cancer on the earth? You have to do away with plastic to not be a cancer to Earth. You literally got to eliminate plastic from, you got to be like, never make another plastic object again. And I could start to believe that would be possible.
Well, they're fucking trying.
Man, fuck that.
I mean, they're
making plastic cars. I don't believe it. They, plastics and everything. It's
Well, it's a byproduct of petroleum, and they're trying to get rid of petroleum products. Let's get off of oil. Well, fuck.
We'll go back to
plastic.
Pretty much everything is
plastic.
Yeah, is made of oil. Clothes, rayon. There's certain fabrics that are byproducts of petroleum production. Like it's in everything.
Am I supposed to disc golf?
Exactly. Fuckers. Play wiffle ball?
You never played wiffle ball? I mean, could you imagine a world without wiffle ball?
Oh, I can imagine a world without jarts. I'm glad I was in the era of jarts.
I wish they darts. Could. I want to bring those back. Yeah, it was lawn darts.
Oh.
They're darts. Weighted.
And had they sharp super, points.
It wasn't super sharp, but because they were, like, they weren't, like, knife or arrow sharp.
Like the ones that would actually points. Go into the real board.
But because they're weighted and you launch them up in the air and they drop down to the earth because you're trying to hit a circle or whatever the target was, if you stuck your foot out,
it would your go
barefoot,
through
it would go through.
Oof. You know, though, how many I would like to actually see real statistics and how many kids actually got hurt by those. Taking away jarts is why kids get hurt falling off a sidewalk nowadays.
I'm guessing it's statistically zero, but enough drunk motherfuckers.
Okay, that's a difference.
Ended up in the ER as a result.
I bet you won't leave your foot there.
Pussy. That's the reason why.
Why? Yeah. Don't move, pussy.
Because that's what we used to do. We'd stick your foot out there and try and hit it. How close can you get to it?
Yeah, but how many times did you just throw it up in the air
straight and
everybody
up in
the just
air?
Run?
Yep.
Yeah.
Looking back, that was stupid. Things could have
killed a person, but no one ever got hurt. Seriously.
Yep. I like that. Seriously.
Really? I mean, I can't think of one. You know, I think I got more injured tripping over like tree roots or something in the ground or onto something, scrambling away from wherever the jart was thrown.
Oh, shit. I was going to say, if we were tripping over running away playing hide and seek, then jarts.
Exactly. I mean, if we were actually playing a real game of jarts, it was safe.
Yeah, because you'd have a target. Way. There's like a hoop.
Yeah,
like a small hoop, and that was the target. Think horseshoes in a way, but you're just throwing these big darts.
Yeah,
they still have them. They just don't have the points on them anymore.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like more like a sandbag or something on the end.
Something cheesy. It's not the real thing. It's not
the same.
Oh, no. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Screw that's it. Us romanticizing history.
Yeah,
can I say?
They probably made the last ones before CJ was born.
Reminiscing on the old days.
Yeah. Like
50% of this podcast is living the same.
Well, you got to think if we start going childhood,
I mean, you're not wrong. Out
like 20 you're years of wrong. What you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's only going back a decade for you, it's going back three or four for us.
I remember two. Give me a break there, fuckface. I remember part of the 90s, somewhat. I lived it. I was there for every year but one.
Just one. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm still extremely curious to the exact people that had these built.
And that was really behind it.
That it was allowed. What a fucking weird thing to put up and put so much money into.
Yeah.
If I really want to scare people, I'd put some creepier shit on it.
I don't know. This is pretty creepy stuff. If you really sit and think, it gets you thinking.
Well, yeah.
It is. It's creepy in a backhanded kind of way. It's like, because on the surface, a lot of this stuff goes, oh, this makes sense.
Sounds nice, right?
Yeah, but who gets to pick? What person at the top of the bar gets to pick what, you know? It's like...
It's the community. It's a round table of everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and it says, so apparently there's a stone, a capstone or something that actually has...
Isn't there a date?
An explanatory tablet, something that basically says, but all it really says is, I mean, other than talking about what it is and the languages used and all this stuff, it says, let these be guidestones to an age of reason. Yeah. And then it has the author and sponsors, and it says a small group of Americans who seek the age of reason. Well, sounds we already like had that in the 15th century.
Yeah.
It's a nice little cult.
Little time capsule. It's like, let's just go dig that up now.
But on one level, I totally can understand that it's nothing new, right? It's some idea of a global harmonious kind of thing. And I'm not going to say it's necessarily communism, but there's, or socialism, but there's always been these ideas of reason and away from God and faith and spirituality and some of those things. And even though they mentioned being part of the infinite, well, okay. So to me, that's not an age of reason. That's, but then there's debates on how do you square faith with logic, faith and reason. I think we've talked about this before. Kierkegaard talks about this, but he has a book, talking about how do you square those things together. And it's interesting, certainly an interesting notion to be sure, but it's nothing new. Like this was done in 1980, but all throughout history, there's been these things where it's these ideas that somebody gets to revolutionize the world kind of thing. And it's, or a nation, but even the Caesars thought they had brilliant ideas. Constantine with Christianity, moving the capital city from Rome to Constantinople, which is now Istanbul, but they're not the only ones. Like the Egyptians thought they were at the top of that chain, and here's all these radical ideas. Everybody's got a thing. So it's like there's what is it, P.T. Barnum said, there's stupid people born every minute. So so not only there are people that do this shit, but then there's people who try and espouse this shit. And sometimes it's, sadly, it takes off, and other times it dies birthing. Like, I didn't even know about this until you brought it up tonight.
Yeah. It's something that I feel like I remember seeing in one of the A&E specials or something. Mm-hmm. But then someone brought it up to me recently, and I got looking at it, and I was like, this would be a good topic to talk about. It's like this exists. It's in the States. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Goofy.
Well, there's lots of interesting ideas.
Well, and with some talk of the about goofy anyway. Stuff going on right now and all the other craziness, it's like, well, how do you wipe out, a few billion people? It's basically if you think what about they're looking at.
What's the backdrop of, in 1980, right? That was right before Reagan, Jimmy Carter was president.
Cold War was still going on.
Yeah, Cold War was very hot. In this country, Jimmy Carter was president. He was from Georgia.
Oh, he was, wasn't he? Yeah.
And subsequently, it was probably one of the worst periods. There's gas shortages. There was a recession, which there are lots of comparisons today to the current president. There's lots of comparisons to Jimmy Carter to the current president. In that same regard, but inflation is even worse. In an inflation adjusted dollars relative to 76. Yeah, because Reagan came in at 80. In the late 70s, the last few years there.
The old penny inflation, wars.
Yep. So it's interesting, it's in some ways, maybe it's not surprising coming out of that there'd be some of these ideas. We were in a weird time. The 60s were that summer of love, and the 70s were, I don't know what the fuck those things were. Yeah. It was just kind of a lost decade.
Getting higher or cleaning themselves up.
Yeah, it's like a lost decade. And then the 80s, you know, there's yuppies and sort of the urban, young urban professionals and kind of those sorts of things. But in the 70s, there's kind of a lot. I maybe looking back and thinking about it, I could understand why somebody would try and think this is a good idea against that backdrop. But, you know, whatever.
It's
interesting stuff to talk about, at least, if nothing else. And, you know, you can't be afraid to think about, talk about things that may challenge your particular perspective.
Or beliefs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to go and see where you're at.
Yep.
Boy, that was a long winded conversation around all kinds of things tonight. We did pretty good. I was impressed. Yeah. Wasn't what we originally had on the agenda, because I was going to clean up some of our other topics. But yeah, I liked where tonight went.
Well, we can talk about old cars all the time. I bring up an 87 Buick Grand National.
There.
That's a pretty car. Buddy mine has two of those. One he bought a long time ago, and then one he picked up along the way. But he also has a 66 Corvette. Silver, though. It's all silver.
I've seen some old Corvettes driving around recently. They're like making a comeback, I think, or it's just the right kind of weather for them to be out.
Yeah.
It's not shitty out. It's not raining. They're not fucking dinged.
It's just kind of hot and tired. Actually, I'd be more worried about construction right now. Be driving along and be where they're laying blacktop, all that tar all over the paint job. That'd piss me off. I'm having a hard enough time getting off my own newer car.
On that note.
Every 10 miles, construction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. But, yeah, thanks for listening. Tell one of your normie friends about us.
There we go.
One of the mouth breathers.
To help us expand the BR Nation, give us a 5-star review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and check us out at barbarianrhetoric.com or wherever fine podcasts are sold.
Nice. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.